I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. This might be TMI right at the top of the program, but I've got a slate roof. And solar panel companies don't like working on slate, so no solar yet at my house. But solar is growing fast around the globe, and prices are plummeting. In fact, many people think we're in the early stages of a global solar revolution. Of course, there is one obvious problem with solar power: no sun, no juice, and no cheap and efficient way to store solar power for later use. It's a problem lots of people are trying to crack. That's where Tesla and billionaire CEO Elon Musk hope to come in. Last night, Tesla debuted an array of new solar power storage systems for homes and businesses. The World's Environment editor Peter Thompson has been following the story. Here's his take on whether or not it'll be a game changer.
Well, Elon Musk and Tesla's investors are making a multi-billion dollar bet that they will be a game changer. They're building a $5 billion battery factory in Nevada, which will turn out lithium-ion battery systems for both its cars and these new stationary storage systems that they're calling the Powerwall for homes. They're essentially going to be an array of the same batteries that Tesla uses in its cars, packaged in this sleek design and with new controls designed specifically for homes and businesses instead of cars. The basic technology actually isn't new, but what they're bringing to the table is the Tesla brand, which has respect and recognition that go far beyond its actual car sales. And perhaps even more important, they're bringing scale. These lithium-ion batteries are pretty good at absorbing and releasing electricity very quickly, which is one of the main requirements for home systems, but they've been expensive. And with this new factory, Tesla is hoping to bring costs down by 30%, which could be a game changer.
So is it the cost issue the answer to why this hasn't happened before?
It's part of the issue. I mean, people have been using batteries to store electricity, solar electricity and wind on a very small scale in specific situations, mostly off the grid. But there have been a few big reasons it hasn't yet taken root more widely. And one is that the batteries just have been relatively expensive and, frankly, relatively clunky to use, not that reliable. That is starting to change. Also, people are paying a lot more attention to the way the systems are managed than they used to, making them much more user-friendly. That was one of the breakthroughs, actually, that the German inventor I spoke with a few weeks ago, Wolfram Walter, talked about, who's developed something called the Sonnenspeicher, which means sun storage for home solar systems. Now, Tesla hasn't said much about its management system for these home batteries, but remember, these are the folks that brought us the best car that Consumer Reports has ever reviewed. So I think we can expect that they're paying a lot of attention to how the whole system's going to work.
Why a newfangled battery? Why not just feed the power that you get from solar and wind back into the grid?
Well, a lot of folks are doing that, and that's the way the solar industry is largely grown in this country. But there are limits to how much intermittent solar and wind power the grid can take. So that's one problem. Also, some people actually have to pay more to buy the electricity back from the grid than they get paid for feeding it into the grid in the first place. So this changes that equation on both counts.
So the battery would release zero carbon emissions. But if you crunch the data and numbers, how does a home battery, like from beginning to end of manufacture, compare to oil or natural gas or coal?
Well, that's one of the key things that people have really started examining. And there are certainly critics who say that these batteries do come with their own environmental impact, as do solar and wind. I mean, everything has an environmental cost, but the environmental costs of coal and oil and gas are massive and well documented. People are starting to do research into the environmental cost of this. On balance, so far, it seems to be still considerably less.
Seems like a big development, though. The World's Environment editor, Peter Thompson, thank you.
Thanks, Marco.
The Tesla home battery announcement is exciting news for Richard Hirsch. He teaches the history of science and technology at Virginia Tech. Fair to say that you're excited about this announcement today?
Absolutely. Now, when I read about it, I thought, okay, let's put one in my house. It would be, I currently have a gasoline-powered generator as a backup unit because where I live, we have had some power problems. But that's always a pain because you have to go outside and start it up and all that stuff. I'd love to have a battery that will provide power when we don't have it. In theory and in practice, this indeed could be a game changer.
So if we talk battery history now, I read that there's this ancient version of a battery called the Baghdad battery. Some say it dates back to 250 BC and uses might have included electroplating and pain relief. Do you trace battery history back that far?
Not that far. The Baghdad battery seems to have been discovered by some archaeologists, and there's still some debate about whether it really was a battery. Even if it was, one could argue that it didn't really have much impact. It wasn't until literally 1800, I think, when Volta figured out how to make what we would today call a current electricity battery.
That's the Italian physicist Alessandro Volta.
Exactly. And in 1800, he was picking up some work done by Luigi Galvani, who discovered that when he was dissecting frogs' legs, that there was a little bit of electricity, animal electricity, he thought it was called, that was created when the frog was being dissected on a metal plate. And it wasn't really until quite a bit later that people understood that if you put some acid between two dissimilar batteries, that you get a flow of what we would call electrons. And Alessandro Volta in 1800 was able to turn that insight into a more practical device known as Volta's pile. Volta's pile was basically the first real type of current electricity battery from 1800.
Over time, what would you say have driven the improvements to battery technologies?
Well, after the early experiments done with batteries, people kept making incremental improvements. In the 1830s, Morse and others came up with this very practical use of electromagnetism, which was based on electricity generated from a battery. And of course, you have the whole telegraph business developing, and it was vitally dependent on batteries. So you had people working on improvements of batteries for the telegraph industry. At the end of the 19th century, you had people like Thomas Edison who were playing around with batteries and batteries that could be recharged. So Thomas Edison came up with the lead acid battery that has been used ever since for electrical starting of automobiles. So your car has a pretty standard lead acid battery, which goes back to Thomas Edison's days 120 or so years ago.
Since you study the history of the battery, where do you think the Tesla battery system kind of sits in battery history?
Well, a good, cheap, economical, and efficient battery has been the holy grail for battery makers. And I actually remember seeing some advertisements in the 1970s for exactly this type of battery that could be used as a supplement for the grid for utility scale power, and it never reached commercial viability. So I am hopeful that Tesla has come up with this battery that will have good commercial applications, but time will tell.
Professor Richard Hirsch teaches about the history of science and technology at Virginia Tech. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, my pleasure, Marco.